We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, we're back. Marks and Reese. As the NFL Week 3 starts tonight, Carolina and the Texans, we'll have a pick on the game coming up later on. We're going to have to wait all the way to Monday Night Football for the Eagles and the Cowboys to talk about that. And this past weekend against the 49ers, Sheil Kapadia of The Athletic, as he joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. What is up, Sheil?
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Sheil?
So when you went back and you looked at the game, what did you see? Obviously, the offense struggled. We know that there was some, you know, you had the not-so-Philly special, et cetera. But overall, what did you see when you went back and you looked at the offense?
Yeah, I thought they really had a chance to take control of that game in the first half, and then it would have been a different story in the second half because the 49ers were able to just kind of get conservative once they had that lead and not really try to do too much offensively. So you look at it, you know, Eagles have a field goal block. They have four plays from, what, the one-yard line. They don't score there. I thought they had a couple opportunities to hit Devontae Smith deep. You know, Jalen Hurts, I thought, was a little bit late getting the ball out there where, you know, even if you hit just one of those, maybe it's a different game. So it was definitely different than week one when, you know, last week after week one, we talked about, hey, they're getting the ball out quickly and, you know, with Jalen Hurts and giving him a lot of layups in the passing game. This was kind of a different game plan where they felt like they could really attack those 49ers cornerbacks and push the ball downfield. So it's kind of interesting to see that they are willing to kind of change what they do depending on the opponent, I guess, for better or worse.
Yeah, how good was that the 49ers defense Sunday going up against the Eagles? Was that just due more to missed opportunities the Eagles had in that second half? I'm speaking primarily about the second half where Jalen only threw for 39 yards. They didn't score until San Francisco was in basically a prevent defense, and they let Jalen run up the field as opposed to beating them over the top. I'm just trying to figure out why the Eagles struggled so much in that second half of the game.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I think the opponent is a solid defense. I don't know that it's a great defense. You know, certainly at cornerback, they were banged up. They've certainly got some good players. You know, I thought Landon Dickerson coming in for Brandon Brooks was, you know, sort of a big deal there where I think he had only practiced three times and all of a sudden a rookie is getting into the game for the first time. And I thought he had some issues in pass protection. You know, there was certainly one third down where he gives up a pressure. And I forget if Jalen Hurts threw incomplete or was sacked there. There was another time where, you know, he and Jason Kelce have issues kind of passing off a stunt there and Jalen Hurts is pressured again. So I thought the pass protection wasn't great there in kind of some high leverage moments in the second half. And so now, you know, we'll see Landon Dickerson gets in. It's a week of practice under his belt. He's going to be the guy here going forward. And that's certainly on the short list of things to watch when we look ahead to this week, you know, Monday night against Dallas.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at Sheil Kapadia. You can read him on The Athletic as he has multiple columns out every week. Sheil, I mean, briefly, just kind of already looking ahead to Dallas here. Listen, they're 1-1. It's a long season. But if you look at the Eagles' schedule coming up, I mean, it's almost a must win, right? Because if you lose this game, now you're 1-2. You have Kansas City. You have the Bucs. You're going to have to go out to Las Vegas against the Raiders. This is a really big game for this team so early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think any division game is going to be big. I mean, I will never say must win with the NFC East in week three because we don't know. We saw what happened last year where it took until about week 14, 15 where you actually had a must win because no one ran away with the division. But you are correct that the schedule coming up here after this gets really tough where they're going to be big-time underdogs in those games against the Chiefs and the Bucs, and I think they'll certainly be underdogs with the way the Raiders are playing. And then, you know, the second half of the season is when you get a lot of those division games where you can make up a lot of ground. So, you know, it's a big game, I guess, if you're looking at week three and it's a division opponent. I think it's a good measuring stick game because I do think the Cowboys, especially with that offense, are a playoff caliber team for sure. So you kind of got two different versions of the Eagles. Everyone's juiced up after week one. They beat up on the Falcons. And then week two, you're competitive, but a little bit more of an ugly game. So, you know, it's the first time with this coach and quarterback and coaching staff, and we're trying to figure out what their identity is going to be. And so I think it'll certainly give us some more information in that respect.
So what are you thinking about this Cowboys team, right? I think they look good in both games. We know they were in basically a shootout versus the Tampa Bay Bucks opening night. And then they switched it up against Los Angeles and became more of a run-based team. Dak only threw the ball 27 times. Nothing really down the field. And the defense seemingly showed up last week versus the Chargers. So what do you think about the Dallas Cowboys after 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Ike, there with that first point about their offense. They can take on different forms and be really, really good at either of them. You know, the first week, Dak Prescott's throwing the ball 58 times, and they're really, you know, going blow for blow with the defending Super Bowl champs. I mean, they're throwing the ball all over the field, and he looked really good in that football game. So they're capable of doing that with their receivers, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, two guys who are really tough to cover. But then if they, you know, if you're going to play with your two deep safeties, which we've seen the Eagles do, and that's what the Chargers did last week, and you're going to kind of dare them to run the ball and gash you in the ground game, well, they showed last week that they could do that. And, you know, I don't know how many people watched that game, but Tony Pollard, you know, this guy looked like one of the most explosive backs in the NFL last week. I mean, he's reeling off 10-yard chunks after 10-yard chunks. He looks more explosive than Zeke, you know, not to say that he's a better overall player in every aspect, but they're coming at you with both of those guys. And so we've seen the Eagles' defensive philosophy in the first 2 weeks, and that's, hey, we're not going to give up explosive plays. You know, they've given up, I think, one completion of over 20 yards in the first two games. That's the fewest of any team in the NFL. So we know what their philosophy is. They're saying, we're going to make you work for it. But, you know, there are teams that can do that, that can methodically move the ball down the field in 9-10 play drives. And I think the Cowboys are one of those teams. So I think that's kind of what this game will look like.
Yeah, you're going to be seeing a much different offense than Atlanta and San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo missed a couple of throws that might have looked a little bit different if he would have completed those throws. So would you say the defenses looked really good? Is it a combination of, you know, the offenses weren't great, but the Eagles' defense has improved? How do you look at the defense overall so far?
Yeah, it's a combination, but I'm going to give them credit because you can only play who's on your schedule. And I think to implement a brand new scheme with some different personnel and to play as well as they did over the first 2 weeks, I think you definitely deserve credit for that. And I do think they're taking the right philosophy. You know, in 2021 in the NFL, it's so hard to play great pass defense and prevent some of these offenses from producing explosive plays. And they've certainly done that. I mean, I thought Javon Hargrave, you know, that had to be his best game as an Eagle last week. And so now you have him and Fletcher Cox there on the interior. I mean, that, again, that's a big matchup to watch this week, where the Cowboys have a great right guard, but I think their center and their left guard, those guys can be had. And so you're really going to have to pressure Dak Prescott. He's been getting rid of the ball so quickly in these games. I think only Ben Roethlisberger is getting rid of the ball quicker than Dak Prescott through the first 2 weeks of the season. So it's not going to be easy, but I think it starts up there with those two defensive tackles.
How much of that do you think has to do with Dak's shoulder and that soreness that was there? Because to get rid of it quickly means you're throwing a lot shorter passes also, and that's what he did last week versus the Chargers. A lot of those throws were underneath throws.
Yeah, it's a good question because even in week one, you know, you watch that game early on and you're saying, well, you know, Dak Prescott's really smart. He knows where the blitz is coming from. He's throwing with anticipation. He's accurate. But at the same time, you looked at it and you said, well, he's not getting a lot of zip on those throws, whether it's a deep out or some of those passes that require arm strength. But then I thought there's been times in the first two games where, like, if he needs to kind of gear up, he's able to do that and put some mustard on it in kind of tight windows. So it might have something to do with it. Ike, you know, it's kind of like we saw what happened in Hard Knocks, and they're going to the Texas Rangers to get advice on how to manage the shoulder injury.
Right. And he throws it 58 times in week one, yeah.
Exactly, and he throws it 58 times. So, you know, it certainly could be an issue where it's not as strong as in previous years. But, you know, I think Prescott just doesn't get enough credit for how smart he is. I mean, when he's up there orchestrating stuff at the line of scrimmage, going up against that Bucs defense in week one where they're throwing all kinds of blitzes at you, he knew what was coming, and he knew where to go with the football. So I feel like he's reached that stage of his career where he can make up for, if he's not feeling 100% physically, he can make up for that because he knows where to go with the football.
All right, Sheil, you nailed the Falcon-Eagles game. I think we were off last week. You were off last week with the win or the loss against the 49ers. What do you have Monday Night Football, Eagles and Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, I think the Eagles certainly have a shot. You know, you look at that Cowboys defense, which Ike asked about earlier. I don't think they're like a stout defense that's just going to be forcing three and outs all game long. But they can produce takeaways, and that's really what they've relied on. They've got six takeaways through the first two games, and that's tops in the NFL. So this is a game where you can't give them that. You can't turn the ball over because their offense is too good. You know, I look at it, I think the Eagles have a chance, but I look at that Cowboys deep offense, and I really like what they've got going. They can really attack you in different ways. They're really talented. I will be very impressed with this Eagles defense if they come out of that game and are really able to hold Dallas in check. So I think it'll be a competitive game, but I think the Cowboys are going to win this one. I've got Dallas 27, Eagles 20.
Ooh, a cover for the Eagles. Yeah.
For the Cowboys.
Or for the Cowboys, yes. Well, Sheil, we don't have to like your pick, but we have to respect it.
There you go. First time I've gotten booed all year. It feels like football's finally back, baby.
All right, Sheil. Talk to you next week.
All right, brother.
All right. See you guys.
Sheil Kapadia, The Athletic. There you go. Yeah, I kind of, based on just the conversation he was having, I figured he was going Cowboys in this one. It is interesting what you bring up. Maybe
yeah, I mean, listen, if we're going to remind him who he picked and got wrong, he's going to pick. Yeah, he's not going to pick the Eagles every week.
No, he shouldn't. He should go with what he believes.
Yes.
But it's interesting that you bring up about the because, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense after he didn't play all summer and then throws it 58 times in his first game, like that throw, and then he doesn't throw it a lot in the second game because it was probably sore. Do the Eagles say, like, hey, listen, we don't think he's going to try to throw deep. Maybe they pay attention to more short passes and run and dare them to throw deep?
I mean, the Eagles, have at least the first 2 weeks, have shown they're going to stay deep regardless, so they want you to play underneath.
Right.
They aren't changing their philosophy. They're going to keep two safeties high.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to the phones here. I think we had how many Cowboy callers did we talk to? Just the one, Jack, or is it two?
We've mixed in two. Three, maybe?
Because Steve from Camden, I'm getting a couple DMs saying that was actually Corey Clement's father, Steve from Camden, that called in earlier.
Ah.
Which makes sense because we've met him before, and he's a very nice.
Steve would not have called in.
No?
No.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. That's what someone's speculating out there. So anyway, 215-592-9494. Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark.
He would have just called in and said it was Steve.
Right. Well, I mean, Jack did take a shot at Clement, so maybe that got him going, right, Jack?
You did. Well, it does show up if it was Corey Clement's uncle, by the way. Like on our phone.
So it didn't.
No.
All right, good. All right, good. 215-592-9494. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, celebrating 40 years in business, 40 years of great memories. Visit marks-jewelers.com. Question is, Eagles Cowboys, is it still a big deal? Yes or no? Most people, 82%, saying yes, still a big deal. Marlon in Philly is a Cowboy fan, and he's upset with something, or us. Marlon, how are you?
Hey, Marks and Reese. Okay.
Hey.
First of all, Marks, this is the second time I called this show in 50 years.
Oh, awesome.
But I listen to these shows because I've been a Cowboy fan for, I'm 50, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to you earlier talk about all these Cowboy fans and Roger Staubach, mm-hmm. And I'm like, but hold up. that reflects to you as to, well, when you became an Eagles fan, because they didn't win nothing. Jaworski, what you want to go
right
to Cunningham?
No,
what
I know, but that's even more of a reason of when you're talking about me and you're talking about my character, you're right. The Eagles weren't good, and I still love them, and they were still
and
my team.
Been.
No, but excuse me? The Eagles don't win anything?
They won one, sir. Okay.
All right, Marlon, listen, since you're such a big Cowboys fan, how many, since they won a Super Bowl, was that 1996? How many playoff wins have they had? This is 25 years, dude. How many?
See, that's how y'all go by the facts. But all I want to say
But you say there's no Super Bowls. Now you have to say one. That's because you can't say there's no Super Bowls anymore.
40 years. How long did you like the Eagles? But I'm not getting into that. All I'm saying is there are Dallas fans out here.
Philadelphia Cowboy fans. Yes, I know.
Yes.
We know it.
Ain't on no bandwagon just because we like Dallas. Just like y'all.
Clearly you're not. Yes.
You know, you Eagle fans, I love listening to y'all show because you know why?
Why?
Y'all always y'all talk Super Bowl after the Atlanta. Then when you meet your San Fran, you played a good game 17-11. I just think it was a little politics in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then let me tell you something. When y'all get there losing to the Cowboys this week.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And then you know you're not beating the next team. And now y'all 1-4. That's why I love y'all show. Because y'all talk all that today.
What are you, on a cordless phone? What's going on there? All right, your phone sucks. Of course, a Cowboy fan would be on a cordless phone.
Like he's typing Morse code.
Did sound like Morse code. Let's go to Mark in Cincinnati. Mark, how are you?
Hey, guys. Great
What's
show,
up?
As always.
What's up, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Thanks for taking my call. So I just got a 15-second story before I make my confession.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm a Spartan fan. I don't know if I ever told you that. I moved. I moved to West Michigan in '99. I went in. I was driving. It was late at night. I stopped at one of those on 96, just west of Lansing, and I walk in, and on the left, there's all the blue and maize shirts and paraphernalia. On the right, there's all the green and white shirts and paraphernalia. I said, well, I got to make a choice. You know, I'm living here now, so I got to be the fan of something.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, obviously gravitated to the green, grabbed a shirt and a hat, and that was it. I was a Michigan State fan.
There you go.
And my daughter went there. My daughter went there 3 years. She left before she graduated and went to another program that was more suited toward her thing. But anyway, that was my story. So I did watch the Spartans on Saturday, and I do
Big
follow
win.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a great game. Mm. So anyway, so when I was very young, my father was a more racist version of Archie Bunker, and so the parenting wasn't great. And he would he wouldn't let us watch the Eagles game. He'd be like, they're bums, you know, because I was born in 1960, so he saw the championship. And then the 60s were not great for the Eagles. He bought me a Bart Starr jersey. But I was not a fan of, like, the statuesque quarterbacks. I loved Roger Staubach and Fran Tarkington. But then in the early 70s, my brother got fed up with it. And he was older than me, and his nickname was Moose. So I walk in one day, and it's you know, Eagles Dallas, and he's like, I don't want any rooting for the Cowboys in this house, and he punched me in the face, and then that was the end of it. I became an Eagle, so I was no longer allowed to be a Cowboy fan. So he picked up the slack from my dad, and you know, I've been a Eagles fan ever since, and I hate the Cowboys. It is still a huge rivalry. I mean, I don't know how you can sit there and look at the Cowboys, who they are, who they pick up, the, you know, all the
I don't know, and Mark, Jerry. Listen, and thank you. I don't know how many I don't know how many new Cowboy fans there are that are, you know, like 10, 11, 12 years old right now that are saying, like, hey, Cowboys, they're going to be my team. I mean, most of them are older.
Well, if their parents are Cowboys
That's
fans,
true.
Then they're, you know, they're out there.
They are.
Yeah, because that's like saying there aren't going to be any more Cowboy fans in the next generation. They're there.
There's less, though.
I think the Patriots are actually the new Cowboys fans.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the Patriots are like the team everybody likes to root for.
I disagree.
They almost like are like the team people want to see lose. And the Cowboys, see, the thing with the Cowboys was, if I just go with our generation, those 90 Cowboys, they were perceived to be a cool team. Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. Like, that was a cool team. Like, the Patriots have never been considered a cool team.
Yep.
Right?
No. But so with Randall in that defense for a while, like, I could see how if you were in the middle of nowhere, you could be like, I love Randall. I like the Eagles, right? Uh-huh. Kind of like with Barry Sanders. I like the Lions when Barry Sanders played because I love Barry Sanders, right? But it also wasn't my first team.
Oh, you're cheering for the Lomas Brown game. You're cheering for the Lions.
I was not cheering for the Lions in that game. But Barry Sanders was an awesome player, and I love him.
Like right now, the Cowboys of the 90s would be, and it's not even to the full effect, but Kansas City is the chic team now everybody wants to glom onto because you're a Patrick Mahomes fan.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that's what it becomes. And that's what the Cowboys were of the 90s. They were the team of the 90s. The 49ers were the team of the 80s. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. Who didn't love Joe Montana? It took Tom Brady to win 5 Super Bowls before people stopped talking about Joe Montana.
Yep.
A system quarterback. Yeah, I said it.
Well, and that's why there were so many 49er fans at the link on Sunday. Was you have
they're
their,
everywhere.
And it's the same thing with the Showtime Lakers.
Yes,
the Showtime Lakers fans in Philadelphia. When you go to those games, you
raised a hand. Ben Wagner.
But you're also from Cincinnati.
Well, I'm just saying, from the 80s, that was a bandwagon team to be cool to be a part of.
And
I don't mind admitting it. That was my childhood. Yeah, the Lakers was a bandwagon team. I jumped on.
It was the Lakers or the Celtics nationally, and who the hell wanted to be a Celtic fan, right? Like you wanted to be a Laker fan.
I don't apologize for it.
For sure.
I'm just proud you didn't blame LeBron for this. I thought you were going to find a way to blame LeBron for people being fans of players, not teams.
He's a bandwagon fan anyway.
Cowboy
been a Yankee fan?
Ohio State. Sounds like our right fielder. I mean,
LeBron's a Yankee fan too, right?
Yeah, supposedly. Except when the Cleveland baseball team was in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. Well, that time when they were in the actual World Series.
Yeah, then he was there as a big Cleveland fan.
Was it? I think there was a playoff game where he showed up with a Yankee hat on.
Yeah, I think that when they were playing the Yankees the first time around.
Right,
in the playoffs
okay.
In like 20.
Right, earlier,
maybe.
Yes.
But this time in the World Series, he learned I probably shouldn't do that.
All right, we have somebody that wants to defend Ben.
Uh-oh.
That's coming up on the other side. Seamus Clancy from Bleeding Green Nation also has something to say about the Cowboys.
What?
Your phone calls, and is there one member of the Cowboys that's embracing the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry? We're going to play the audio, and then we can decide, all right? Mark Sandrisso, 94 WIP. Mark Sandrisso, we are back. And so Micah Parsons, we found out after he was drafted by the Cowboys that he grew up as a Cowboy fan, right?
Yes.
After the draft, he talked about it.
From Harrisburg.
Yes, from Harrisburg. Well, I mean, listen, in Harrisburg, you get Steeler, you get Eagles, you get a lot of Cowboys fans out there. Mm. I was just glad that we didn't draft another Cowboy fan.
They seem like diehard Cowboys fans, too.
Yeah.
Well, he might have been one I'd have been okay with drafting.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Parsons is talking about Jalen Hurts here, right? Here's Micah Parsons.
I mean, I would say every quarterback that's on the season is on the hit list. I mean, I want all of them. Herbert was just the guy I had that week, you know what I'm saying? But Hurts, he's on the hit list now too. I look at it be like the Terminator out there.
He's young and dumb.
Yeah.
Just out there. I'll give him credit. He's been talking from the beginning. He talked about wanting Brady and that whole thing. So that's his mentality. He's sticking with it, and he's the linebacker. So, you know, I can appreciate that. And we had better know where he's at because he is a disruptor. They line him up a little bit of here, a little bit of there, and they're letting him just chase the quarterback. So,
which is probably good in his first year, right? Like they lined him up a lot of defensive end last week. I saw a couple times in the Bucs game where Brady was able to suck him in on a play action, and then he tossed it right over his head.
Oh, but that's Brady.
Yeah.
That's Brady.
And he's a great talent.
Yeah.
He really is. All right, back to the phones. Seamus Clancy from Bleeding Green Nation joins us right now. Seamus.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Seamus?
Happy to be on here.
What's going on, brother?
What's up, Seamus?
So I wanted to say that I'm 27. I'm Jack's age. So when we were kids, it was after the triplets. They kind of stunk for a while and didn't really seem like, for my generation, that rivalry really lit up until Wentz versus Dak and everything in the Peterson era since. Yeah. Do you get the sense from any younger callers or young listeners or people talking on social media that it might not mean as much to the younger crowd? It was indoctrinated in me, so I still go crazy and wild for this week writing about it, tweeting about it. I live for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Jack, I don't think he feels the same way about Dallas Week as me. He thought the Giants growing up were the bigger rival, and maybe they were.
Well, listen, I was going to ask you, and because you would know better, you probably speak to more people of your generation and your age. Does it seem like your Eagle fans' friends are pumped about playing the Cowboys this week? Do they hate the Cowboys? Like we tend to get the older crowd that calls up to the radio station, so we understand that the older generation still feels the same way. But I'm not sure if the younger generation still has that same sort of dislike or hate for the Dallas Cowboy fans that their parents did. So, I mean, you tell me, Seamus, does it feel like your peers are pumped for this game or hate the Cowboys just as much as I guess our generation did or does?
I feel like I'm on an island a little bit because I don't get that same intensity. And it comes back to what you said earlier about, oh, the 80s were Montana and the 90s, Cowboys, now Patriots.
Yeah.
I felt like when they played the Patriots in 2019 at the Link, that was the most hyped I've seen a regular season game versus any opponent. And that definitely speaks to the two Super Bowls in the past, but they are the marquee team. And I wonder what the vibe will be with Kansas City coming to town next week. But I don't really see it from other people. And it makes me feel weird. Like, am I alone? Is this going to die out when I'm 40 and no one else really cares anymore?
No, Seamus, you got to keep it alive. Listen, John
I'm
and
trying.
I will. Listen, we'll be here for the next
decade,
I think.
As long as we're here, Seamus, you can rest assured we will try to guide the younger generation into hating the Cowboys. Yes.
I love it.
Yep.
All right, Seamus, right on, man.
I will say.
Appreciate it.
Obviously, my household knows that there is no Cowboy fandom allowed. I don't give a damn about fantasy football or not, Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no love for the Cowboys. Doesn't mean you can't draft the Cowboy. Just understand, we don't do Cowboys here.
Fantasy football is a business transaction. You're allowed to – I agree with you.
Well, you know what? I think that has played into the upcoming generation.
So true.
And having that hate because – the upcoming generation are fans of particular players, right? Like, they may have a team that they like, but do they really have the dislike for the other teams or the rival?
Not like before.
Right?
No, you're right. Not like before.
Because fantasy football is huge.
Yep.
So
you really, like you're not as sensitive to it. At least, like, and like me, for instance, I was at Marks and Reese League where I was waiting for Dak Prescott, and I was like, bam, give me Dak Prescott. Oh, people get so mad when you draft the Cowboy, but, like, I've always...
I did it with CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if there was a quarterback that was similar, I would take a non-Cowboy quarterback over. But, like, if it's the better player for sure that's on the board, I'm taking him every time.
Nah, it's a good pick.
Yeah.
that's a good pick.
All right, Jack, you're 27 years old. You're Seamus' age. What do you say about this?
It's just another game for me. Like, I honestly do mean that. Like, it's just, like, they don't matter to me. Like, we've owned them my whole life. I grew up with Quincy Carter, Vinny Testaverde, Chad Henne. Like, they sucked. I mean, like, I hated Marion Barber.
Yes, Marion Barber, like, yeah.
Marion Barber was the guy
Marion
that I hated
Barber.
Growing up. Yeah, like, you guys grew up, I mean, the triplets. I had Marion Barber, who was, like, the worst. Dez Bryant, I couldn't
Quincy
stand.
Quincy Carter, Chan Gailey.
Marion Barber was a good back.
Yeah, it was.
He was always frustrating because, like, the game would be, like, over, and as soon as he came in, it was, like, the game's really over because he would just start pounding.
Actually, you bring up Marion Barber, man. He's fallen on some hard times.
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say... No, I don't want to say because I don't know for sure. But I do know for sure last I heard of him, he had fallen on some hard times down in Dallas.
Him and the Felix Jones were the
Yeah.
So,
Felix,
like,
Jones, yeah.
And the Eagles could have drafted Felix Jones. They traded out of the pick for Kevin Cobb that year.
Oh, everything's fine.
Who was the was that before Dez Bryant? That was
before Dez.
That was before Dez.
It was like the 44-6 Cowboys.
I was trying to think who was the wide receivers they were doing. Was that the Miles Alston era?
It was like Roy Williams.
Okay.
When they traded him from the Lions down there.
Well, up to Romo. I mean, that's how Romo got discovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went through that bad patch of quarterbacks.
Well, they had T.O. as their receiver,
yeah,
by the way.
Drew Henson.
Oh, that's right. They had T.O. Yeah,
Chad Hutchinson. Right. They kept getting these guys that were projects but had potential, and none of them ever could play.
Like, the T.O. thing was the first thing that I really felt Eagles Cowboys.
Right.
Like, my ESPN username was T.O. Sucks for Life till I was in college. So, like, yeah, that definitely still stuck with me. But, like, but for the longest time, it was like, I would try to get up for it, and then inside I would be like,
you hear everybody else making a big deal about it, but ultimately you never felt the same way.
Like I'm jealous of the 90s Eagles Cowboys thing. Right. Like, I wish I could feel that, but I don't. Like I grew up hating the Giants. I hated the Giants way more than I hated the Cowboys.
You know, I'm there with you. Yeah, I'm there with you on that. Yeah.
And it's not that I don't want, like, I'm not saying like the Cowboys thing doesn't mean anything. It's just that it didn't mean as much for me growing up because they sucked and they've been a dumpster fire for 25 years.
They really have been a laughing stock, yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, they expect the Cowboys to blow it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. By the way, Marion Barber has had some run-ins, but they're tied to mental health issues. So that's a shame.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. We have Yoshi. Oh, man, Yoshi in Brewery Town probably hates the Cowboys. Yoshi!
What's up, John? Hey, Jagged Baby. Yes, I do hate them. I cannot stand them. And the main reason is, see, I'm going to tell you this story real quick. I was born in North Carolina, moved to Philly when I was 5. So in North Carolina, back in the day, you're either a Cowboys fan or a Redskins fan. My whole family is a Dallas Cowboys fan. My daddy, my brother, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles. Guess what? All of them, Cowboys fans. Mm. We argue all year. Right now, they are blocked. Nobody from down there can call me this week because they heckle me all before the game. They ain't even played yet, but they already claiming the victory. And my son, he's 26 years old. He cannot stand them because I argue with the family, and he's a diehard Eagles fan just like his daddy. I raised my children right.
Damn right.
So he can't stand them. I'm telling you, they can't get through to me. They can't get on my social media this week or nothing. And there's a couple of them that might creep through and put a little blue heart on my page or something like that. But I cannot stand them. That's why I always want my birds to win. But I need this win so bad because I got 100 memes. I got about 50 gifts that I want to send out when they lose because they are irking and annoying me. And know why? Because I know that they over there mad because they cannot get through. This game means so much. I told my daddy, I said, if I have a son this year, it was 1995, I said, if I have a son this year, your Cowboys will never win a Super Bowl as long as he's living. My son, I had a son December 3rd, 1995. They ain't won a game since the last Super Bowl. Since that last Super Bowl. True story. If I could get my little midget daddy on this radio one day, he'll tell you. Yeah, that boy did say that. And he's been mad at me. I'm going to tell you, my dad, he don't even talk to me, what's name, from August to February. That's how mad he is at me. I need this game so bad. And I feel like we're going to get it. Last week, what's name, we played a team that, you know, they had some deficiencies in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And we knew they had a bad knee, but we didn't kick them in it. And this week, what's name, we're going against the second worst passing defense in the league as of. And I'm hoping that they saw what they did and take advantage of last week. They take advantage of this week because I need it, John. I need it, Ike. I need it so bad. I don't even drink no more. I've been sober for 2 years. Not like I was an alcoholic, but I need some Ike juice. And
you must have been drinking that Ike juice.
All right, listen, Yoshi, we need you on Monday, okay? Yeah, calm down. Yeah,
bottle it up, bro.
Bottle it up.
Boy, I'm coming in. Boy, we win that game. Y'all better make sure that line ain't blocked. I'm coming in. Whoa.
All right, Yoshi.
Man.
Be good, man.
I'm going, baby.
All right, you too.
So you have Michael Parsons with his Terminator and Jalen Hurts next on the list. Little quote. You got Nick Sirianni with his Beat Dallas T-shirt there. I'd say both sides got a little bulletin board material.
There you go. I like it. Jack, your what you said about the Cowboys, this gentleman that DM'd me says that Jack's a fake-ass Eagles fan. He couldn't be more wrong.
All right.
And then he said wrong in all caps after that. And
awesome.
Last time
really
he messaged me was after you ripped Wildwood as the not a top five beach destination.
Not surprised. Not surprised to go hand in hand.
That's true, too.
Who does Philadelphia dislike more? Ben Simmons or the Cowboys?
Well, we're going to find out in 60 seconds because Brian is going to try to do the what I thought was not even attemptable, which is defend Ben and defend Philadelphia Cowboys fans. But first, let me tell you about BetMGM. Sign up today at BetMGM. Enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The king of sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Carolina or Houston. And if any team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code MARKS200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. So download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code MARKS200 to win $200 in free bets if either Carolina or Houston scores a touchdown.
New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER at MGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
All right, let's go to Brian in Jersey. Brian, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on? How are you?
What's up, Brian?
I didn't want to defend Ben Simmons. I wanted to offend Ben Simmons, and I kind of just wanted to say, like, he's a bum!
Because he's a bum!
No, for real, he is a bum. He got no heart. But I'm a diehard Eagles fan, I'll tell you that. So I live in Central Jersey. So I live in huge, like, Giants country. It's all Giants, some Cowboys, but very, very few Eagles. It's like, it's maybe like 20, 30 minutes from Giants Stadium, MetLife.
Okay.
But the only thing I want to defend is that, like, look, I'm over here in Giants country, so I'm in a rival's, I'm in a rival space. So, like, they can look at me the same way, but, like, honestly, like, I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I've been an Eagles fan. I'm 28 years old. I've been an Eagles fan from a stupid story, but, like, I became one through a video game, and, like, I just became a diehard straight up. And, like, I if someone's a Dallas fan, whatever reason it may be, I just think, I don't know, I can respect that, like, just because they're not from there, like, if they're a diehard for that team, like, I kind of have a soft spot for them just from my situation. That's just where I'm coming from. I also had another point I wanted to make. I know the camera hit a home run in wiffle ball yesterday. I wanted to hear how Jack did.
Oh, all right. Well,
no.
Jack, how'd you do, buddy?
I did not hit a home run. I did almost kill a kid, though, because I smoked the ball. I'm not, you know, my hands are too quick for a wiffle ball. You know, I got to slow the bat down, and I, you know. My official statement.
So the camera hit a home run, and you didn't.
Yes.
So this is two baseball challenges that the camera has won.
Wiffle ball is not baseball.
Well, I mean, it's not baseball, but, I mean, it's not football.
Right.
It's closer to baseball than anything.
The camera is an unbelievable athlete. I can't say that more. I can't say that enough. He's unbelievable.
So 0-2, baseball against the camera.
0-2, yeah, sure.
Wow.
Well, no, the first one was not a loss.
Yeah, no, it was. See, I think you need to box him now. Enough of this baseball, wiffle ball.
Yes.
Well, and the golf course. I need to get him on the golf course.
Well, I mean, you would obviously win that. Let me text Damon Feldman and see if we can set something up here.
The Olympics between me and Joe DeCamera.
That's a great idea.
That's right.
I like that.
We'll have a bunch of events where you and Joe battle it out for the gold medal.
Yes.
All right.
But it was fun. It was good.
So Mickey Morandini was pitching. Is that correct?
Yes, he was.
I saw Bennett from our sister station, B101 and 96.5. I saw him hitting off of Mickey.
Yeah, he hit a home run.
Yeah, he hit a home run too.
No, I smoked a couple off the wall. It was just, you know, I'm not a launch angle guy.
No?
No.
Are you the only one that didn't hit home runs? Or?
No.
How about Dom? Dom Giordano from 12-10.
No shot he hit a home run.
No? was he not good?
He swung, honestly... This is the first time I ever met Dom.
Did he have his hands backwards when he was holding the bat?
He swung like you would swing in the 60s. Like where it's just like straight downhill like you're chopping a tree down.
So when I played Little League, my dad told me to swing down on the ball.
Yeah, it was the oldest school swing I've ever seen on a person in my life. Yeah.
That's a. So is he good? Good.
Nobody's safe around you, I guess.
No, not even the local police officers that were there. who roasted me after and they kicked me out of the athlete club again, and I did not appreciate that.
Well, it was all for the Police Athletic League does such a great job, and we're always support what they're doing. We even let Jack leave the show early so he can lose in the wiffle ball.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, go out there and embarrass us.
Right.
I like pain.
Well, I didn't. I wouldn't say I embarrassed us.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was whiffing every time.
Were you on the Jumbotron I saw?
The back Jumbotron, not the real Jumbotron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there you have
Unfortunately.
It. Jack Fritz, the TKO by Joe DeCameron.
We're not spreading that rumor.
Well, I mean, if he
hit TKO, he got one homer.
But
how many did you get?
First of all, the kid robbed one at the wall, too, which I didn't appreciate. He went over the wall to bring one
so
back.
So hold on. Was it a home run derby?
Yes, it was a home run derby.
Okay, so how many pitches were you each given?
We were given 8 outs.
Okay, so it was a home run derby. You were given 8 outs. How many home runs did you hit?
I would say half, at least a half.
So a half. How many did Joe DeCamera hit?
He hit one.
Okay, so you lose.
Yeah, but it's not real. It's wiffle ball.
All right, well, there you go.
You hit a half of a home run?
Dude, the kid robbed it off the wall. And I almost took
it. I thought it was a derby.
Yeah, well, listen, I didn't appreciate him, out there shagging and trying to steal homers from me. Because he doesn't even know what I got to deal with the next day.
Yeah, he had no idea.
No, well, first off, I've been screwed by kids in this pal thing twice. This time, and the last time, I hit the guy in the corner, and he didn't keep running.
That's true.
Made me look like an idiot.
Yep, that's true. Yep. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott's our buddy in Dallas that's an Eagle fan. Scott!
Man. What's going on, guys?
What up?
What's up, Scotty?
I'm pumped for this week. These Philly Cowboy fans that call in are clowns. They have nothing in common with actual Cowboy fans being out here, because if they understood actual Cowboy fans, they're all homers. I went to the Eagles-Cowboys game last year out here when the Cowboys stunk. I mean, our stadium last week had Niners fans. It was probably half Eagles fans last year for that game in December. Mm. The Cowboys are always homers. They sell their tickets to any fan group that if the team's not good. People fail to realize that Cowboy fans, too, they look at us as like we're the gnat on the wall that's annoying. They don't hate us like we hate them. They hate the Niners because the Niners were good in the same period they were good. The Niners also stopped them from four-peating, which a lot of people out here talk about how they would have won 4 Super Bowls if Steve Young didn't beat them in 95. And that's kind of the team that they hate because in a true homer fashion, that Super Bowl competitiveness, well, we have as many Super Bowls as you and yada, yada. It's all a joke. And fans out here are diehards about high school football and college football. That's what they go nuts for. The sports fans out in the Dallas area are all homers when it comes to professional sports.
Hmm. Mm. So what's that like for you being down there as a Eagles fan? Like, how do you – I always wonder, right? So you're down in the belly of the beast down there. How do you get to sort of enjoy or do you get to come together with friends? Are there other Eagles fans down there you get up with, or how do you get to enjoy the game?
There's tons of Eagles fans down here. We actually have an Eagles fan club in the Plano area where we meet every week at this bar called Austin. There's probably 100 people that show up. I don't know if you guys have ever had Big Tony call in. He owns a bunch of cheesesteak shops out here from Philly. He's one of the head guys. He organizes a lot of it. Best Philly cheesesteak shop in all of Dallas. He has like 3 or 4 locations. And it's a good time. There's a lot of Eagles fans out here, and they always show up.
Okay.
Cool. All right, Scott.
All right, man.
Be good, man.
Okay, so that leads me to have to ask this. Is there a Cowboys bar here?
That's a good question.
There's a Chiefs bar in South Philly, right?
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a St. Louis Blues bar?
Yes. Yeah. Then when they were in the
Which
in
I find
Stanley
that
Cup.
Strange. That a St. Louis Blues bar is out here. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know.
Like of all the random teams and sports?
I mean, even the Kansas City Chiefs bar, I don't know how that happened out here. But is there a Cowboys fan club bar out here somewhere that we don't know about?
Wow. Because the Niners, that was a local
That was
fan.
A New Jersey club.
Ah, see? Which makes a little bit more... Dude, it was so many red jerseys in that stadium Sunday.
You're not handling this well at all, by the way.
He's just surprised.
I'm just shocked at that. I just am. But, yeah, if there's a Cowboy bar out there somewhere, I guess
let us know.
It'd be safe not to let us know.
Let us know so we can put it out of business.
That's what I'm saying. I guess it'd be safe for us not to know.
Just doing a quick Google search, you see a lot of people saying, I'm going to Philly. Are there any Cowboy-friendly bars in the area? And there's not a lot of positive responses
right,
to that.
Right, yeah. I mean, I would imagine somebody would have dimed him out by now.
Here's what you do.
We would have heard about it, right?
Right.
Here's what you do. Which,
not from them, because they know if they let everybody know.
No, but
know.
I feel like there would have been like an altercation.
They'd never. Right. Yeah, yeah. We'd never not know about it. Here's what you do. You go to one of the big chain places. You go to like the Buffalo Wild Wings or the, you know, like the Dave and Buster's. And if you're a Cowboy fan, that's where you watch.
That's where you watch it at?
Yeah, you know, a local place could get a little ugly.
Okay.
And then, and I'm sure there's a lot of other Cowboy fans that go to the bigger
sure.
places. To,
oh, dude, there's a lot of Cowboy fans here.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it pains us to
oh,
say
yeah.
that. All you got to do is be at the stadium on game day.
A lot of star jerseys.
Well, they're so annoying to even wear when the Eagles aren't playing
yeah,
the Cowboys.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Oh, they're all over.
Yes.
215-592-9494. Yeah. We'll get to phone calls next segment. Fletcher Cox, Eagles defensive tackle, joins us next. Listen, we'll talk about the Cowboys in that rivalry and what's going on this season and how Fletcher's feeling. That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.